also here in the studio with our contributing editor, Neil Milner, and this is a legislative session that's going to happen in a kind of fraught atmosphere in some ways, Neil.
Yeah, it is. I was about to say before what happened on Saturday happened that this session didn't look like a session in which a sudden, highly visible incident had happened with a big surprise, and that sometimes that happens and the legislature becomes overwhelmed with that one issue. It happened a couple of times on same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that isn't the case here. It may be the case here because this false alarm is going to bleed into a number of kinds of investigations and concerns that's going to take up some time, even though it's not clear what the legislature can do in terms of legislation. It's certainly going to eat up some time.
You know, prior to Saturday, Neil, I think we might have been sitting here saying there's no single defining issue to the session.
Well, I think that's right. There is no single defining issue. There is the kind of classic, very difficult, if not impossible, issues to deal with that come back over and over again because, as I say, they're very hard. Certainly one of them was going to be affordable housing. Another one was going to be homeless, where in some ways we get the idea in our heads that you're going to be able to deal with it definitively, but you never deal with it definitively, not so much because the legislature's capacity, but because the problem is so ingrained, so long-term, and so large that it takes at least a lot of time. But there is nothing like that. One issue that has started to come up that is a very serious long-term issue is cesspool reform. Yeah. This one has been around for a long time. We have an enormous number of cesspools. It's a very serious problem. Everybody sees it as a serious problem. Politically and money-wise, it's a very hard one to deal with, but it's back around again.
Well, you know, one of the things that happens with an election cycle is that frequently for an elected official, it's to your advantage to kick the can down the road. We hear that expression all the time. So a lot of the issues that come to a head are issues that previous office holders may have postponed.
Well, we have a history of postponing issues here, for sure. It's part of the tradition of the legislative process.
Yeah,
really. And you postpone them by sending them out to a committee for more studies. But in fairness to the legislature, some of these issues are so intractable and so long-term that they can go on forever that way. And I think there are some of those. There are other issues that kind of keep crawling and crawling along that develop a kind of turtle-like atmosphere on their own. And you know, one of them that I've talked about before is medical marijuana, that we're almost through with the second decade from when the enabling rules came out for going for enabling process forward, and we still don't have medical marijuana out there totally. This is not because that's an intractable issue or hard to figure out.
Well, the issue that's there is a pretty intractable or at least hard to figure out issue going to be facing this session, namely death with dignity, as is sometimes described. I mean, that's
although it's received less publicity this time, and some of the most important spokespeople have been less involved in the past, John Ratcliffe for one. The death with dignity one is one that I would be very surprised if it passes. I don't have any inside information about what's going on, but I don't think the momentum is in favor of passing it. At least twice now, we came fairly close. It didn't pass. I don't see what's going to throw this thing over the threshold of passing, because the legislature faces what legislators hate to face, and that is very strong feelings on both sides.
I'm surprised to hear what you say about death with dignity, Neil, because I had really gotten the impression that that had sort of reached critical mass.
Well, I've been wrong before, as you might know, maybe it surprises you. But I think, again, I'm going basically on the kinds of the sorts of dynamics that the legislature uses, where you have very strong opinions on both sides. It's a very difficult issue to compromise on. And I don't know what's come forward to throw it over to one side.
Well, what do you think it would take to move it to?
I don't know. I guess some of it might be that if they decided that the objection of religious leaders and some doctors to it would change it. I think some kind of compelling event. But I don't see anything on the horizon, or if there's a change in the composition of the legislators. I don't see any of that happening, you know, where the body has really changed. So, as I say, it's not like I have inside information on this. I'm just looking at the usual kind of cues, which is people making it more visible than it was before, the dynamics being different in terms of opposition and so on. And I don't see anything different that's going to make it more likely to pass it, and that the legislature might just let this slide.
Bill Dorman, our news director, is joining us. And Bill, we were just kind of kicking off this discussion of today's opening day by talking about the issues in play, and you know how there's one, obviously preparedness has now become the number one issue. It's been sort of kicked to the very top. But we're kind of going over some of the other issues that are going to be discussed.
You know, it's interesting, that idea that things go out with a plan in terms of the week before the legislative session and the weeks leading up to it. And obviously, this time things changed very radically as of Saturday morning. I know that Catherine Cruz spoke with the governor earlier here. I'm not sure if we have Catherine on the line, actually.
I think we're still working
okay.
on that.
As we do that, this idea, for example, Scott Psyche said that he pitched out his planned
right.
speech and
yeah.
just going through. And yet, there are certain issues that are going to, of course, come back to the legislature as it goes through. Housing, homelessness, clearly education issues are yeah. going to be coming up. So there are a number of these factors that whereas the immediate opening session is going to be colored by this, and of course, hearing on Friday on Saturday's events, as well as the political angle that has now been injected into all of this in terms of criticisms of Governor Ige, which perhaps were a little below the surface, have bubbled up to the top of that. And Neil, I know that's something that you've been watching as well.
Yeah, I've been watching it, and I think there's a couple of things. It's certainly going to bubble up more. Nothing makes criticism of an incumbent bubble up more than a challenger making it bubble up. And so we clearly have that. Here's a couple of things I think you have to watch out for, kind of caveats. First of all, one issue is generally not enough to overcome, to beat an incumbent. The second thing is that generically incumbents do pretty well. The third thing is that it's a long ways away. That said, what's going on in this is very important, because what's happened here fits into a kind of narrative about Ige that's been around almost from the beginning, and that you see politicians, and not just Hanabusa, starting to jump on, and that is that he's not very confident, he's not very definitive, and that he doesn't fix things the way he said he was going to fix them. So this fits into that kind of narrative that's going to be used over and over again in the campaign, and he's untested in his ability to counter that. And what we see in the last couple of days, if I were on the Ige campaign staff, would be very, very worried.
One of the things that you see in an emergency situation like this is that it's a game of perception.
That's absolutely right. And that's the political perception and the question of what carries into the election. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, August is very far away. On the other hand, August might come very quickly. I think, actually, we do have Catherine now live at the Capitol. Catherine, are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here.
Hi, Catherine. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear the poi pounding in the background. We were able to talk to Governor David Ige. He spoke with us before he went down to listen to the speeches about what happens going forward and how he intends to deal with any political fallout. Governor, thanks for joining us. We're coming off the week with the missile mistake and the false alarm. Do you have anything new, any updates on the investigation at this point?
No, I don't have anything new to add, but just wanted to be clear that we have already implemented changes to assure that it would never happen again. We have programmed now a cancel or false alert button so that if an alert was sent out, we would be immediately able to send the notice that it was an error.
Now, your critics are having a field day with this. This is an election year, and they're going to make an issue of it this session.
Sure. You know, it's. I think that the safety of the people of the state of Hawaii is too important to make it a political issue. You know, we're committed to having a system that is reliable and trustworthy. We're committed to informing the public as soon as it's appropriate to, and we are committed to educating everyone in our community about what actions should be taken. One lesson learned from this event clearly is that many in our community hasn't really thought through what they should be doing. And so we need to be clear with businesses about what would be the best practices. Every resident should have a plan of what to do when they're at home and what to do when they're at work, and think about what action should be taken depending on where they are. And we definitely will become a stronger and more prepared community as each of us looks at where they could be and consciously thinks about what action they should take.
Now, some folks are taking you to task over the system that we have. We saw some photos of the screens, and folks think that maybe we should have a better system in place so a mistake like this doesn't happen again.
Well, we've already implemented a better system to ensure that this doesn't happen. Yes, we can make further investments, but it's a very complex system. You know, being able to communicate, as you know, Catherine, there's so many different ways that we communicate today than it used to be. Before, it was pretty easy to, you know, if you covered TV and radio, you got everybody. Today, there's digital media platforms, there's cell phones, text messages, and having a system that can provide the information via all the different media is more complicated than it used to be.
We're seeing some images of computers with passwords just taped on the screen, and folks are saying, well, you know, our system should be a lot more, I guess, safeguarded.
Certainly. The reason that I issued the executive order appointing Brigadier General Kenneth Hara is that we do want fresh eyes to look at the system, to be able to go in and examine every facet of the current system and challenge them about whether they should be further safeguards in different areas, anticipate other scenarios where, you know, if a mistake is made, that we can correct it in a much, much shorter period of time.
Is there anything you can share with us about what you might talk about in the State of the State? I know the lawmakers in both houses are going to focus, I think, on housing and homelessness as some of the top-of-mind issues this session. But is there anything else that you can share with us at this point?
No, you know, my priorities have been pretty clear. The vision is to make investments in our people. We will continue to do that. We do think that we've made tremendous progress, and the State of State will be talking about education, housing, homelessness, because that's what I hear from the people are the things that they're most concerned with.
And are you concerned at all that leaders in both the Senate and the House were there to support Congresswoman Colleen Hoonabusa when she declared her candidacy for governor?
You know, I feel very confident that our budget and our legislative proposal is focused on serving the people of Hawaii. You know, we have identified those priorities that we believe is most important and most represent the values of our community. We're going to advocate for that. And just like we always do, we know that we will all be looking at what is in the best interest of the people.
And how do you plan to handle the political fallout? Lawmakers have already scheduled a hearing for Friday. There's a movement also on the federal level. Our Hawaii delegation is, you know, asking questions.
Certainly. We will be providing with transparency what occurred and the information that we have. We would welcome the federal input. Catherine, we're the only state in the country that has initiated this activity to prepare for a ballistic missile attack, and we believe that it's important. We believe that the conversations in our community about what to do is very important and makes us a stronger community.
Okay, and so you're prepared for whatever criticism comes today or the end of the week?
Just, I mean, we are moving forward. As I said, we have reached out to all of the civil defense all across the state and the counties to make sure that we can hear what happened there and any suggestions that they might have for things that we can improve in the system. We've already had conversations with some of the broadcasters and about things that we can further do to improve the system. So we're committed to providing the best system that we can to assure the safety and well-being of our community.
You expressed some dismay at the death threats levied against the employees of our agency. Have we filed a police report?
I'm not certain. I can follow up with that.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to share, Governor? I know that they're out passing flyers urging people to be prepared for any disaster.
I do think it really is about our community working together, government, business, individuals to strengthen our community, to being clear about what's appropriate and what's not. You know, to talk about best practices of a business, I can see them not being certain of what they should be doing. And so I think it's in everyone's interest to take the lessons learned from this event and really think about how we can, as a community, get stronger and better prepared.
All right. Well, thank you, Governor. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz.